That's why I'm not yelling. That's right. Oh, man, that'd be a good one. Yep. Nope, just peeking out the door. She will be here in a little bit. She had pictures tonight. Huh? All right, good evening. Before we open with prayer, I'm just going to make sure nobody else is walking across the parking lot. Busted. I know, buddy. I know. Yep. Well, we got our first round of laying hands on somebody. Cassie's here. All right, good evening. Glad to be with you all again. That's right. Just start praying. All right. I figured we'd start just a couple more minutes, or we'd give everybody a couple minutes. It's 6 o'clock start time on stuff during the week. Comes across as a little rush to me, so if we push back a couple minutes, that's just what we're going to do. Sunday's easy. Monday through the rest of the week is a little harder to do that. I think we've still got somebody else coming in now. Last night was a good time. I was thankful to be here. Had to peel out just a couple minutes early and get back to work since I was on comp time there. But enjoyed the first evening with you all just praying and doing some other things there yesterday. So was thankful for that, and it was a good time. So hopefully tonight will be the same. We're going to be opening with a word of prayer, and then we will get started. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you for today. Your grace and your kindness are overwhelming. We praise you, Lord, for those things and how you give them in abundance. God, we thank you that every need that we have, you have provision for it. You have made provision, or you will make provision for everything that we need. Lord, I thank you tonight that the Bible says that every heavenly blessing has already been given to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand our prayer life just a little bit better. And we don't have to pray to be blessed. You've already done that. The best of what heaven has to offer, you have given in Jesus. And we are in him and he is in you. And we are thankful tonight for John 17 and his high priestly prayer and just the truths that are there. And Lord, we thank you tonight for those that have gathered. Lord, we pray for those that are missing this evening for a variety of reasons. God, we pray for their hearts and their minds, that you would be drawing them closer to you, closer to their families, closer to us as a church body, as we look forward to what you're going to do the rest of this week. We thank you for every hand that's working to make the things go at this church. I praise you for each one right now. And God, I pray for those, Lord, that are doing so much that they would feel your grace, your goodness, God, even a smile from the Heavenly Father, that he is thankful for their service. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do what only you can do in those hearts this evening. We love you, and we thank you, and we give tonight to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Quick opening here. Would anybody, so I gave you all an opportunity last night, would anybody else like to share any practical prayer wisdom? Stephen and I chatted for a couple minutes last night. A lot of the stuff that we're doing that is more intimate is being placed on the app, the church app, for people to go back to if you want to. So he's doing the Wednesday nights on there, loading them there. So if there's some personal stuff or things like that, we kind of keep them off of Facebook and the bigger things. And then he's also going to put these nights on there as well. So we're going to get a crash course in the app that that he has made, that they're making for the church. And we will be able to go on there, and you'll be able to pull up the services at any time. There's also a prayer list on the app that you can add to or pray for, okay, so as we move forward. So that was something that a couple years ago we had talked about a little bit, and he has been putting the pieces together and making something really neat. So we're going to push that a little harder for all of us to start partaking in that as best we can. But these services, the Wednesday night services, are on there. And then, like I said, there are some other tools on there too. Committees, there'll be stuff for committees on there, and reaching out to people and email and all that stuff if you need it, okay? So just one of the things there to think about, a practical prayer thing. Anyone else have anything they want to share after 24 hours of marinating on what we talked about last night? Gina. Yeah.
I didn't even pray my personal stuff. It's nice to have the outline, so I guess I have to discipline myself to get my outline.
Yep. Yeah, like Roro was talking about last night with her dad, just writing stuff down gives you, you will be amazed how long when you really get into that, what will happen at the end. Like you said, it was 46, 47 minutes and you didn't even get into anything personal. You were just praying about other people or the church or all these other things. So it's a very intimate time. It's a wonderful thing to think that way as well. And then if it's 5 minutes, it's 5 minutes. If it's 55, it's 55. It's like a conversation with somebody you love.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't zooming through.
Yeah. I'd heard once before, I can't remember who said it, but they talked about having trouble praying at night and then falling asleep. And it was like it was flipped back on its head, which was, have you ever heard a parent complain that their child was talking to them and falling asleep? Right? And it was like, no, that's never been a complaint. Right? They're wore out, they're chatting with you, and then all of a sudden, you know, that's Leo stage right now. As soon as we get in the car, it's just ba 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 ba, and then it's nothing. And 30 seconds of nothing, you look back, he's out, right? But you've never heard a parent complain about that. So if you're struggling with something like that, sometimes those hurdles or those obstacles are just ours. They're not his, okay? So that's a really good point, and I'm glad that today was the day that you were able to experience something a little different and be blessed by it. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Okay. Open up to Luke chapter 18 with me this evening. We're going to do Luke 18. We're going to do Matthew 6. Tonight is the plan of prayer. Luke 18, really, when I started working on tonight in this lesson. I wanted to go to Matthew 6 first, the Lord's Prayer, because it just kind of writes itself. But I'm going to tell you what, I found something I want to say scary, convicting, borderline terrifying in Luke 18. And I wanted to share it with you in conjunction with what we're doing. And then I think Betty mentioned this passage last night when we were talking about in the small group time there, just talking about prayer and some other things. She made a comment about the persistent widow that was begging for justice. That's the passage tonight. And I want to read through all that. I want to give you three pieces, okay? And then I want to share with you one thing at the end that was a real conviction for me when I finally read it, and it triggered what Jesus was saying. And he told them a parable to the effects that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Okay? So what do we know immediately about what Jesus is getting ready to tell us? The temptation is going to be to what? To give up, to lose heart, to stop. Okay? That's going to be the temptation. Now, one truth I want to give you right now is you and I need to understand God operates differently with time than we do. Okay? 24 hours is nothing to him. 48 hours is nothing to him. You and I, and we are proper in this perspective. He could change whatever he wanted right now. He could do that. And a certain piece of us, and I think this is part of the response or the idea of this parable, is a certain piece of us, we expect that, we think that, we know he can, and so it makes us impatient with our prayers. Okay? I know you can do it. Why don't you? So how do you and I combat that kind of knowledge that is absolutely true? If you wanted to change this right now, you could change it right now. You could change my circumstances. You could change their heart. You could change this thing. You could fix my body. Like, you could do all this stuff. So what are you and I going to use to combat that? What truths can we use?
He's using it to teach us something.
It is useful. That's hard to hear, okay? It's useful. It's not only useful for you. You and I have to understand God sees time different, and he also sees the way this world works differently. He is setting up a path where not just the people in your home or the people in your church, but 10 or 15 years from now, there's one person that you're going to run into that needs the lesson that you learned because you had to wait. Now, on my end, if I'm walking that road and I'm living that life, that really pricks my selfishness. Like, why do I have to struggle, right, later on? But then you and I have to remember there's so many times, so many people, they've had their own struggle and they've helped you out when the time came. And the only reason they could is because God didn't answer their prayer immediately. Okay? I don't want to claim like we're all bent toward being selfish. Okay? Or bent toward being spoiled, maybe the better word here. What happens when you give someone what they want, when they want it, every time? Okay? The Lord knows who we are. So you and I, when you get into this, and Jesus says he's going to teach them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. That means the temptation is going to be to lose heart. I am done. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul gives us another piece to combat this, which was, I prayed three times, and when I had a piece that it wasn't going away, I quit. I moved on to what was next. Okay? There is the peace. The peace has come. Okay, Lord, until this is removed, or if it is never removed, I will continue doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Do not lose heart. Keep reading with me. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. This is a really nasty person. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because the widow keeps bothering me, even his own selfishness was going to work against him, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now, he is teaching this passage about prayer. And he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? What is he attaching to our faith?
Prayer.
That, like even right now, makes my hair stand up, that idea. If I am not praying, I am living a faithless or self-sufficient life. Doesn't even mean it's selfish. It means it's self-sufficient. I don't need God's help. Which is a way of saying, I don't have faith. I have faith in me, not faith in him. So three things in this passage real quick. Number one, you and I see a posture. What is the posture of the woman requiring or wanting justice? She's needy. She keeps coming back. She is persistent. She has patience, okay? But the first thing we see is a needy posture. She can't bring about justice on her own, so she's going to go to the one place where she knows it's at on repeat. And again, I told you last night, sometimes with the parables of Jesus, he gives us this far-off example, not to compare that to God, but then to bring it back and give you the logic behind, if a horrible person does this, what is a good God going to do? Okay? And yesterday was the same thing. If an earthly father who may be good or may be bad, but if they're going to operate this way, how much more is your heavenly father going to operate in your prayer with him? Right? If he asks for bread, he doesn't give him a stone. If he asks for food, you know, if he asks for a fish, he doesn't give him a serpent. Okay? So Jesus makes these big, sweeping comparisons for us to trigger our mind into saying, God is good, he loves me, how much more is he going to do what it is that I need? And in that, he wants to build our faith. But in that passage alone, you and I see a posture that comes from her. We see a practice. The practice is not rehearsed, but it's to be proficient. Like practice in prayer is not not to be rehearsed. And we're going to read that next in Matthew. You and I are not to sit down and just blather off the same stuff on repeat. Even the Lord's Prayer is meant as a model, not the idea that I'm just going to wake up and say this every day. Because as soon as you can memorize it and don't mean it, as soon as it doesn't come from your heart, then you're doing what the religious people did. Okay? So you and I are going to look at how the plan of prayer with the Lord's Prayer, we're going to see how that sets up in a minute. So there's the posture of prayer, there's the practice of prayer, and then there's patience in prayer. All right? You and I have to come to grips with our vision of what is really going on in this world and even in our own heart is sorely limited. Okay? People are watching you struggle. They're watching you grow. They're watching you fight. They're watching you push through. The Millers aren't here tonight, but I mean, you know, with Tim, to hear him talk about the ministry that has happened in doctor's offices. It's like, well, Lord, if you wanted to calm this or cure this or take it away, you could do it right now. Why don't you do it? Well, that person in that room now has gospel light and gospel hope because they ran into you. Right? The next person, the doctors, the nurses, the staff. God sees all of that. So we have a good, loving God that loves you and is going to take care of you. But we also have a good, loving God that loves other people and needs to take care of them too. And one of the greatest joys in the whole world is to be used by God to buoy someone through their trial. But here's the kicker. You and I can't do it unless we've lived through some stuff. Okay? We can pray for someone, we can put our hands on them, we can do all this stuff. But there are certain areas of life that unless you have lived it, unless you have gone through it, you are going to be a help, but not as much help as someone that says, man, let me tell you, I've been there. I've done that. I had that happen to me. Okay? Yeah.
Because she had lost her.
Yeah. And I'll take you back one more piece to this, the idea of time, okay? The idea of time. So you and I have to see how God answers prayer and how we interact with Him from the framework of time that He uses. He does not use 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He doesn't even use the rest of the days of your life. God sees what?
Eternity.
Okay? And so just like the story of Job, I've told you so many times, that story blew my mind. It did not make sense until I realized that. God operates in the realm of eternity. He is answering your prayers then. He's answering prayers that you haven't prayed yet then already. Okay? So we need to be mindful of this. So why am I waiting? Why is all this? Because God is not on our time frame. He's looking out for other people. He's making you your best you, the one that looks the most like Jesus. And then when the time comes, He wipes away every tear. And the only person that is absolutely assured of that is Him. It's like your mom and dad knowing what's going on when you're a little kid. They've got everything mapped out. They've got everything planned out. It's going to be fine. They're not going to answer every question you have. They're going to request or require that you trust in them. And at the end of the day, you're going to get to where you're going. You're going to wake up and it's Christmas morning. You're going to wake up and it's your birthday. They were planning, plotting, paying bills and doing all this stuff, and you had no clue. You were just living your life. That is the position you and I are in with God. We need to be able to trust Him. And all of that comes down to this. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith? And you say, well, I have faith in God. And I would say, according to this passage, as loosely as I can, if you and I are not praying to Him, we do not have faith in Him. We have faith in ourselves. We have faith in the life that He's given us. You may have faith in the church or faith in your family. But if you and I are not reaching out to Him on repeat, we do not have faith in Him. Because if we did, we would be asking, talking, praising, loving, enjoying the time with. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 6. Imagine having Jesus teach you to pray. He goes through, and this is the Sermon on the Mount. We get into chapter 6. You get to verse 5. We'll start reading there. And Jesus said to them, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others." Can you abuse prayer? And it is a dangerous thing to abuse. Okay? Anything you and I can do outwardly that can dishonor the name of the Lord or make other people think that we are more spiritual than we are is a dangerous thing to play around with. If we are not right, if our heart is not right, if we do it for any kind of gain, you and I are stealing God's glory. Okay? That's something that needs to be on the front of our mind. It doesn't mean that we can't do those things. It means we have to mean them. Okay? Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. Another passage says, how will He reward you? Pray in secret, give in secret. What is God going to do? Reward you in public. Okay? What's that look like in real life? Some of the things you and I are praying for are what? I need wisdom. I need forgiveness. I need grace. Okay? So what does it look like to be rewarded in public if God starts to answer those prayers? What kind of person are you after God answers those prayers? Sullen? Broken? You can be humble. You can be thankful. But you're not mopey. You're not limping. You are a whole healed person. So when you pray those things in private, God, I need you. I love you. I need your strength. I need your courage. I need your wisdom. I need your forgiveness. I need all those things. When you step out of that room now and God is giving you those things, what kind of person do you turn into? A weak one or a strong one in the world's eyes? Very strong. Steady. A force for good. Right? So what you have prayed for in private, God has answered in public. And you will know this by the way the people you work with and the people you do community with interact around you. You will know this, that He is answering those prayers. When you walk in a place and people come to you for help, for answers, for peace, for whatever, that is God answering openly what you have prayed for privately. Make me like Jesus is the essence of every prayer you and I are going to pray for ourselves. So what happens when you and I go out in the world? What happened to him who showed up? The needy. So when you and I step into life as problem solvers, answerers, helpers, lovers, kind people, exhortation, encouragement, when that stuff comes, God is answering your prayers. And he's doing it publicly. Because people are going to seek you out, because in a world that is starving for those things, you and I bring life into everywhere we go. So he says, go into your room, go into your home, go into your closet, shut the door, pray privately, and the one who hears privately will reward you, and he will reward you openly. Keep going. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then like this. Okay, what's the peace of God knowing our needs before we pray them? No matter how we express it, he knows.
If we don't make it sound, he knows.
You can express it in honesty. You can express it broken. You can express it in tears. You can express it with frustrated language. You can do a lot of different things there. And God knows what you need before you even pray. Here's the other thing. Go ahead, Angie. No, go ahead. Amen. And there's the Trinity is at work here too, because the Holy Spirit is within me, and he is turning my yearnings, my tears, all these things that I can't even verbalize. The Holy Spirit is making that a language, and he is giving it to Jesus, our advocate. And there the attorney is making prayer and supplication for us. Do you understand? That's what Scripture says. Jesus is doing that right now. So the Father knows, but there's also the Trinity at work here, where the Holy Spirit within us is taking this message and turning it into a language and handing it to Jesus, who is taking it to the Father. And how many of his prayer requests do you think get answered?
All
the requests, okay? All the requests. So that's the way, that's part of the way this works for you and I. There's a really wonderful thing that also happens too, and Gina, I think, experienced it today, was you start praying about other people and other things, and all of a sudden you get lost in that encouragement. So when you finish and you say, man, I've spent 45 minutes with the Lord, I wasn't expecting that, and like the day is coming, but you and I get the answer that he already knows what I need, right? And so what I love to see happen as our Christian life gets, as we get more mature and more in tune with prayer, you know what happens? Like, praying for us decreases and praying for everything else increases. And here is the sweetest piece. When prayer turns into 90% praise, you're in it. Like, you're there. Why? Because at the end of the day, God knows my needs and he knows your needs. And I'm mentioning you because I love you and I'm bringing you there. But man, once I get into his presence, the only thing that has to happen is his knowledge and his will. So when you and I start to praise him like that, when our prayer life turns into that, you become, I want to say indestructible, but it's very hard to get through that kind of Christianity. It's very hard to tempt a person that will be that thankful and be in that realm of praise with the Lord for prolonged periods of time. In essence, you and I are saying, whatever your will is, let's go. I know you're good, loving, and kind. You're going to do what it is you want to do, and it always blesses me. It always benefits me. And so there are some transitions in our prayer life that you and I can look toward as we grow and mature. It's almost like, remember in Christmas when it was awesome to get? And then what happened as you got a little older? It turned really cool to start giving things, right? To be able to do that. Your prayer life can look a lot like that. It can take several different transitions from praying for what we need to understanding that the Lord is going to supply. So now all of a sudden we're spending more time praying about other people, and then all of a sudden we get into this realm where we're just praising him. Because everything else he is going to do, and we trust that. Keep reading with me.
When you're busy praying about others and taking care of others, God's busy taking care of you.
Amen. That's exactly right. And you and I, like a lot of times the grief and the things that come into our life are going to mandate that we just speak to him like we would a father. You know what I mean? Like you need that peace and that joy and that relationship. And a lot of times that turns into that. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing that the God of the universe tells us to come, commands us to come. Go ahead. Amen.
Right. Because so much stress and so much of our life needs to get bent up and pent up where we run a risk of letting that out in a family or in our friends running around us in a way that can harm them. Not, you know, not physically necessarily, but a way that would be detrimental to their relationship. But being able to release that and just voice the frustration to God, say, God, why is this happening? How come this situation is going on? He knows. So the ability to let that out, let that go, is helping yourself align with what he wants with you, but it's also helping that communication work between the two.
There's a certain spots have a 6-week waiting list to go in for counseling to speak to a counselor right now. It's astronomical. What Stephen is talking about, I think there's two layers to this. I never thought about it like that. But our prayer life, going into God's throne room and venting like that, do you know one of the best things about counseling is just talking? A lot of them will not respond a whole lot at all. It just lets people talk. If we're praying like that, how much of that venom are we letting out in an area that there is no risk? God says, come, right? That's an amazing insight. The other thing I think is happening too is that counseling stuff that has exploded has taken the place of godly elders and pastors. A good set of grandparents that could help walk you through your trials. I think our culture has destroyed so many things that now counseling is the only place you can get that. So Stephen's given you one layer to vent and get that venom out, and it's in your prayer life with the Lord. He already knows anyway, so why are you faking it or hiding it? Right? Walk in there for a 30-minute counseling session and weep and cry and get angry and then wipe yourself off, let the Holy Spirit hug on you, and then get back to work. But if you hold all that stuff, I've told you before, that kind of stress is just energy, and it's going to come out somewhere. Sometimes it comes out in sickness. Sometimes it comes out in bad behavior. It's just emotional or mental energy. You have to exercise it. And that's a great point, Stephen. Like, prayer could be one of those areas. It's free. It's accessible. Right? Get outside, take a walk, talk to your God. Okay? The other thing is vain repetition. I'm reminded of some of the stuff in Hindu culture, which is very demonic, and all the vain repetition in things. Right? It's an opportunity to take your mind out of whatever is going on and release yourself into negative things. So Jesus is telling us, don't get into vain repetition. Don't get into vain. Talk to him like a person. If I said the same 5 sentences to my wife every day, or the same 10 every day, 23 years in, she would probably be okay if I stopped talking to her. Right? So we don't operate like that with anybody else. If every time you talk to me, it was the same conversation, you would be like, this is irritating, I'm not interested. Okay? Or I know this, his CD's skipping, he ain't right. So vain repetition is not something we do, okay? Which is why I think the Lord's Prayer is more of a pattern for us to follow. So here we go. Lord's Prayer, pray then like this, our Father in heaven. What do we got out of that? We're just going
to
skim it real quick.
You have to be saved, he's our daddy.
Okay, there's part of it.
Okay.
That's good. Oh, God of the universe, this ethereal force that is there and just oblivious to my needs. No, that's not what we have.
This is personal.
This is personal, right? Our Father. Now, the concept, too, is there's communal aspect to this as well. That's why we pray for each other. That's why we pray together, right? But when you and I are alone, it can be my Father, Dad, okay? There's a sweetness here that you and I have to understand. Hallowed be your name. What is that? Holy. It's reverence, okay? So the first piece, what you and I get is we get this Papa, this Daddy. The second piece you and I get is praise. Holy is your name. So when you're going through this pattern of prayer, speak to God as your Father. Okay? You speak to Jesus as your Savior. Do you understand? You can pray to Jesus, right? Okay, but Jesus is not the Father. The Father didn't die for your sins, okay? The Father didn't bleed and die and resurrect. Jesus did. So when we're thinking about salvation, I want you to be thoughtful in your prayer life. That's how you keep from vain repetition. So now if I'm talking to Jesus, it is like when we do communion. Messiah, Savior, King, Big Brother, the one that died for my sin. Okay? I'm talking to the Father. It's the plan of salvation, sending your Son. Jesus didn't experience a Son dying. Who did? God the Father, okay? And then there's the Holy Spirit. You can praise them all. You can praise each. They have the same attributes. But when I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, it's like this interaction within me. I need this. Give me peace. Give me joy. Comfort them, right? So when I'm praying for comfort for someone, the person I'm talking to is the comforter. Holy Spirit, taking up residence in them. You are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives within you. So when we become mindful of our prayers, it keeps us from vain repetition. But we see the second piece of this prayer. Hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. Lifted up be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we getting there? My Father is holy, righteous, and good. Whose will do I want to be in charge? Your kingdom come. Now, one of the scariest pieces of the gospel in the last several decades that we have messed up is we think we get saved to go to heaven. What's this say? Okay. Your kingdom come. So when you and I pitch this message that salvation is so that we can go to heaven one day and we miss the rest of life, we are doing everyone a disservice. It's not about that. Jesus said, your kingdom come right now, wherever you go.
If we were not to live for him and show others his kingdom, then the minute you're saved, you take you home.
That's right. If we weren't meant to be here. So that's the third P in this one, placement. Where is his kingdom? Right here. Right now. In my life and in yours. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's the other piece. I'm giving my will to you. Okay? It's your kingdom come, your will be done. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What is that? That is provision. Give us what we need, Lord. You know what we need. So give us our daily bread. Why do you think give us our daily bread and then forgive us of our debts are in that order? Listen, this is very helpful with dealing with real people. The physical body matters a lot. The spirit inside of it is manipulated, blessed, helped, hurt by what is going on with the body. So Jesus says, look at your Father and say, give us today our daily bread. Why? With a happy, filled soul, now forgive me of my sins. Spiritual truth is a lot easier received, okay, when the physical body is intact and the belly is full, okay? Now, there are moments that the person will not learn the lesson until they hit rock bottom. We all know that. But as a common rule, if you're going through something with somebody that is hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, right? And I added years ago, excited or disrespected. If you're going through someone that is one of those things, they are in a volatile state. And so Jesus prays and he says, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, which again is also provision. As we also have forgiven our debtors. Again, provision. What is provided when you forgive your debtors? Peace. Yep. Joy. A release from bitterness. Temptations flee. Okay, once again, provision. God giving what you and I need. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation. There is perfection. But deliver us from the evil one. From protection to perfection. For if we forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. You have Papa, your daddy. Praise, right? Praise his name. Placement, where is his kingdom and where am I at in it? You have provision in the Lord's Prayer. Give us our needs. Lord, soften my spiritual life. Soften my anger, my rage, my frustration. Take care of my body. Help me to see what's going on. Help me to see what's going on in them. Help me to see what's going on in me. And if you can supply some of those needs physically, a lot of times you will have a lot easier ground to till with whoever it is that you're ministering to. If they're hungry, feed them. Right? Why did they not make deals in the Old Testament on empty bellies? Anytime you see something in the Old Testament where they get ready to make a deal, you know what comes first? Food. Why? Because full people are happy people. Hungry people, they don't call it hangry for no reason.
Didn't somebody sell the birthright because they were hungry?
Yeah, they were. How foolish is that? You get into protection. And then you get into my favorite, the idea of being perfected. Deliver us from evil. Not just evil outside, friends, but evil from within. If you and I are praying this kind of prayer, if we're walking through this plan of prayer, a posture of humility, the practice on repeat, and patience with what we're asking for. Now, there are certain things that God gives immediately, but when you and I are asking Him to change our circumstances, sometimes it doesn't come like that. If you're asking for peace, or you're asking for courage, or you're asking for strength, and you need it right then, it comes. Okay? You are in the middle of something, and you need it. You need wisdom. Remember, Jesus told them, don't even be worried about what you're saying. When they drag you before councils and Caesars and rulers, don't even be worried about what you're going to say. I'll give it to you when it's time. That's a lot of faith to be living like. That's right. So what is answered immediately is the change in us. What may be answered next or eventually is the situation. Okay? And sometimes, listen, sometimes when you're living through something and God has made his mind up that it is not going to change, the best thing you and I can happen is to lean into that, okay, and then pray those prayers knowing these truths about who he is and how much he loves you and then being at peace with it. Okay? Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And even if our worst fear comes about, the hand of God is the one they're holding it. The hand of God is the one they're letting it through. Okay? So we need to understand that even if our worst fears come about, he is still in charge. And there's a reason why that this thing is happening. And that is really, really hard. Any other questions or comments tonight? Right. That's exactly right. It's a hard perspective to have in the middle of something, but it is the correct one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And just knowing God's in control is such peace that no matter what happens to me, you know, God's in control of everything.
Yep. I believe it's in 1 John chapter 5, it makes a comment in there that you and I are held in the hand of Christ. We're held in the hand of God, right? Which means if anything goes to touch us, it has to make it through his hand. That's also Romans 8. So if you want to think about it in a way that's physical, that you are, and other passages says you know, you're engraved on his palm, which would make sense if we're held in his hand, right? So you get all of these pictures and all these visuals, and they're all right there, but it's also Romans chapter 8, right? all things work together for good, not to mention all the things that can't touch you, harm you, or come against you.
And I've been praying, Lord, help me remember who I belong to. Amen.
Amen. Yep. Amen. Remember who your daddy is. Yep.
There's a lot of comfort there, too, when you think about Job. You talk about being held in the Father's hand. You know, in Job's situation, the devil had to get permission to go after Job. It wasn't free will. Like, he could just go after Job as much as he wanted, whatever he wanted. Right?
The enemy is constrained. And the last piece of that whole story is who brought him up? Who brought Job up in that story? Huh? The Lord. Have you seen my servant, Job? Okay.
You know what I've been praying? Give me a glimpse of who I really am with you.
Yep.
Now, if I could just see that, my world would change.
Yep.
If I could just get a true glimpse of what all I have and all I am.
Yep.
Just a glimpse, Lord, just a glimpse.
Yep. Amen. All right.
I think when you were saying, and I know in my own life, once you live a few years, you know, and you start getting those little silver hairs and whatnot, and you look back through your life, and you know that old country, I think it's a country song, thank God for unanswered prayers.
Yeah.
And, you know, things that you prayed for, things you really wanted. Like you said, when you go through something, you use that to help someone else. I think that's why God led us, to me anyway. He grew up with a silver spoon, but
it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Well, compared to my life growing up, that's
yeah.
What I'm saying. I give him that grief all the time. But anyway, for children, you know, who have trouble, who've had trouble past and whatnot, using your experiences to kind of know where they are, where they're going. And I'm not, Lord knows, I fall so short on that, because I will sit and reprimand myself saying, well, this is what happened to you, this is what you did, you know. But anyway, just looking through your life and seeing, God, now I see why that happened. Or God,
yep.
You know, even though I didn't trust him at the time and I was mad because maybe something was going on or whatever, you look back and you think, that's to me how your faith grows. Because in the worst of worst times, and it turns out, no matter how it turns out okay.
Yeah.
Because God's in control of it, and you accept it, and you come out better on the other side most of the time. So.
Yep. Amen. All right. Any others before we split up? A little prayer time. Meet with a different group tonight. Just grab a couple different people. My recommendation tonight would be practice the plan. Go through, open up with the Lord's Prayer, and just kind of walk through those steps. Just start training yourself how to pray like that, right? To talk to your Father, to glorify Him, to honor His name, to ask that His will come, right? His kingdom come, His will be done. To ask for the things that you need, to ask for, to be mindful of forgiveness and repentance, right? Protection. And then that you and I would be made like Jesus, the perfecting part of this, which is to deliver us from evil. And again, not just the evil from outside. That's easy to look at and be like, yeah, I don't want any part of that. All the while, there's a big blind spot in us. We need to be delivered from the evil inside too. We need to be made like Christ in that. So as we finish up tonight, that is my recommendation for you all, to go in, you know, groups of six or seven, whatever, and partner up and do some prayer time. Amen.